Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Chulin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh, is daf Yud Tet. And let me just review with you. We've had some pretty complex machlokas and different shitas here. So we had a Mishnah, and it turns out that just about everybody you can imagine disagrees with the Mishnah. But in the Mishnah, we had that only the Tabata Gdola, and within the Tabata Gdola, that's the maximum that you can go up the Beis HaShechita. If you go outside of the Tabata Gdola, so then you pass the Shechita because of Hagroma. And then we had Reb Yosef, Reb Yehuda, that according to Reb Yosef, Reb Yehuda, you don't need to have the entire Shechita within the Tabata Gdola. It's sufficient to have rove. And once you did the rove, so then even if you cut through the top of the Tabata Gdola and you didn't leave a little sliver of ring on the top that you had cut through, it would still be kosher because it goes according to rove. And then we had the ultimate, is Rabbi Hanina ben Antignus, who says that a mugremes is kosher. Now, we don't know exactly how far he meant that a mugremes is kosher. So in that, we had a lot of different shitas. And because he certainly, as we're going to see, he didn't mean to say a mugremes between the possibilities of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Rabbana. Because as the Gemara is going to prove, that would not have allowed him to say mugremet. He would have said aleha, what he was referring to. Said mugremet is kosher. He means the mugremet of both of them is kosher. But how far up does he allow us to go? So we started with Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish said you can go all the way up to the Chudai Shalkova, which is as far as you go in the next cartilage above the Tabat Hagdola, which is, wow, all the way up to what's known as the thyroid cartilage, if you look it up in your anatomy books, all the way to the top of the helmet, because that is shaped exactly like a war helmet, and it's open in the front and comes down on top and looks very much like a helmet. So we call that actually the same idea, kova, the hat, the helmet. And then we had Rabbi Yochanan. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's the point at which it's the shipui. The shipui means that point where it begins to be mishupa. So the helmet starts to slant upwards. And that is the most you can go up. And then we had the other shitas, which we had a number of different approaches to exactly what Rav Papi was saying. Before we get to Rav Papi, we had Rav Papa and Rav Chia and Marzutra, and they all said that the question is, even if you cut through the chiti, which, depending on how you understand Rabbi Yochanan, is basically the same as Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan says it's where you have the beginning of the going upwards, the shibui of the kova. And then we had Rav Papi and we had Mar Bar Rav Ashi, and we understood Rav Papi in two possible ways. So we had Paga Bechiti. So the question is, if Paga Bechiti would mean you actually get right up to it, that would be extremely chomer. Paga b'chiti, which would mean you cut through the chiti, that would be much more chomer than the other shitas that we had, but it would be not as chomer as the shita that it's even if paga the lo naga, and that's the maximum you can reach. So going upwards, we have to, our lowest level would be leaving a sliver of the in actual Tabat HaGdola across the entire top. And that was what the Rabbanan seemed to hold in the Tanakhama. And then we had, it has to be a sliver only across Rov. And that would be what it was that we understood is the Reb Yosef, Reb Yehuda. And then we had, going upwards, we had the Psul would be up until the Chiti, but a little bit below it. Once you got all the way up to the Chiti would be Pasul, which was Rav Papi. And then there was the other Pshat in Rav Papi. Even if you got up to the actual touching Bechiti. And then we had, above that, we had the shita that you could cut through the Shipui Kova. And then we had Reish Lakish, who said you can go all the way up to Chuda Shel Kova, which Rabbi Yochanan said was going way too far, my dear brother-in-law, and Giza Giza. So those were the shitas from bottom to top. I'm calling it bottom to top from the point of view of a person who's looking at the Beis HaShchita. Now, actually, throughout Eilat Shreifos, bottom to top is going to be in the other direction, because we always look at the animal hanging upside down so that we can actually be bodek, cut through the diaphragm, check the lungs, and so on. But for these purposes, I'm calling it, so don't, this is just a matter of logistics. In this parak, where we're dealing with Shechita, I'm using the term bottom to top the way people normally would. Anyway, that's what we learned through yesterday. And taking that into consideration will make it a little bit easier to follow today. And let's just start right at the top of your test. Once again, V'hilchata mishipui kova ulamatek shira. The halacha is that from the point in which the kova begins to curve upwards, it's kosher, and that is the same as paskening shayer b'chiti, that you left a little bit of the chiti. So that means that you could actually cut through the chiti, and as long as you didn't go above the chiti, remember the chiti are called in Latin also corn, just like chita means corn or wheat. And so it's the cornicular, which means like the wheat cartilage. And this would be the same as the psak, where we said that if you leave something over, even though you were poga b'chiti, and you cut through them, it would be kosher. Rav Nachman also was machshir that mishipui kova ulamata would be kosher. So Omer le Rav Hanan bar Rav Katina le Rav Nachman, I don't understand. Who are you paskening like? Are you throwing out a Mishnah? Come on, you're not paskening like the Tanakama, and you're not paskening like Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Both of them hold that the Tabat HaGdola is the maximum height. Now remember, I've ignored the other element of the sugya that we spoke about yesterday, which was the question of whether Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Yehuda was machshir in the Tabaot HaKtanot, or whether you had to shecht either in the Tabat HaGdola or in the actual connective tissue between the Tabaot and not in the actual Tabaot. In the end, the Gemara proves that actually Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda never said such a thing. He said you could shecht anywhere along the entire trachea, and it was Rav and Shmuel who had paskened not like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, and they held that we would not follow that rove, which we didn't quite understand why surrounding the kana with cartilage would in any way change the din of the kana, but in any way, that is what Rav and Shmuel had said. We proved that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda himself actually didn't hold that. And as I mentioned to you yesterday, the easiest way to, if you've never actually handled those parts, although I think everybody has, you know, come into contact at some point in their earlier years with the kana in the old days when you used to be able to, you know, you actually got a bird that was shechted. But anyway, the easiest way to imagine it is a dryer, what they call those vent, I forgot what they call them, you know, the plastic vent pipes, which are surrounded internally by a spring, which are connected to the tabaot, except that the spring is like one continuous spring. And the tabaot serve the same function of holding open the trachea, except that they are separate. The difference between the tabot and the ktanot and the tabat hagdola is only that the tabat hagdola goes around the entire trachea, and all the other ones are almost around it, but towards the back, they are held together by very thick connective tissue and not cartilage. Anyway, but so getting back. So they asked, how could Rav Nachman, Rav Hanan bar Rav Katina asked, how can Rav Nachman paskin like not like the Mishnah? not like the Tanakhama, and not like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, and he's saying Shipui Kova, which is well above the Tabat HaGdola, and it's inside the thyroid cartilage. So how exactly is that possible? Omar Lay, Sir Reb Nachman said, look, man, I don't know who you're talking about, okay? I don't know no Mr. Chilix, and I don't know no Mr. Bilix. I only know the Psak, okay? So, lo chilek yadana, lo bilek yadana, I know that there is a final shmaitza about this. Shmaitza meaning, of course, a psak of the Amoroim, as opposed to a Mishnah or a Brisa. And I learned that because Reb Chiya Bar Abba said that Reb Yochanan had said, or some say Reb Abba Bar Zavda said that Reb Chanina said, and some say Reb Yaakov Bariri said that Reb Yeshua Ben Levi said, but the bottom line is, everybody was basically landing on one spot. Shipui kova ulamata kshir. As long as you are beneath the point at which that cartilage begins to go upwards, curve upwards towards the top of the helmet, it is kosher. The Omer Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, actually, we can see that a mugremet of the Rabbanan, now this seems to be very obvious, a mugremet by the Rabbanan. What's the mugremet according to the Rabbanan? That the knife went outside the bounds of the Tabat HaGdolah upwards, right? And it didn't leave a sliver of cartilage across the entire circle. Well, that mugremet would be kosher according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, who says you only need rov. And Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, who says rov, would be according to him, even if you didn't leave rov and you went above the Chabat HaGdolah for the whole Shita, would be kosher according to Rabbi Chanina ben Antignas. Well, obviously, I know how to read myself. I really didn't need you to explain that. Shita, what did you add? Because if I hadn't explained it to you, Mao de Dema, you might have thought that when Rabbi Chanina ben Antignas said, Mugremes is kosher, he didn't mean Mugremes is kosher, even the Mugremes of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. He was referring to the Rabbanan. So he said, ah, you the Rabbanan say that a Mugremes is even when you finish the rove within the Tabat HaGdolah? Nah, that would be kosher, meaning that he's paskening like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, but he didn't mean to say that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda's Mugremet would be kosher. Kamash Malan, that no, he means both of the above shitot. Both Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, it's all kosher. Hey, wait a minute, you know, now that you bring it up, maybe that is what he meant. How are you so sure that what he means is everybody's mugremet is kosher? Maybe he just means the mugremet of the Rabbanan and kosher according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. No, he couldn't mean that, because if that's what he meant, then all he would have said was, Heid Aleha. Why would he would say, Heid Rabbi Chanina ben Antignas Mugremes is kosher? Meaning, let's start from the top. Whatever you say the Mugremes is, it's all kosher. If you were just starting about the latest sheet, he would have said, no, that's kosher. So clearly he meant even above both the Rabbanan's Tabat HaGdolah and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda's Rov of Tabat HaGdolah. It's all kosher, and that's how we paskin Hilchotak Rabbi Chanina ben Antignas, because as we saw, the latest Psak Halacha of Rav Nachman went according to Rabbi Chanina ben Antignas, who said Bishupoi Korva Velamala is kosher. So getting back to the basic machlokas, let's take the Tabat HaGdolah, but the same thing would apply to whatever shiur of Mugremes we have. So we had a fascinating way we understood it initially, was you, according to Rabbanan, you're cutting through the Tabat HaGdolah, you cut through rove of the Tabat HaGdolah. Now, at this point, if you want, you could just stop shechting, because as we're going to see later, Ruba, shall any of the simanim are kukula. And therefore, if I shechted most of the kana, then it would be kosher at that point. And yet, the Rabbanan seem to be saying that if you don't stop and you continue to shecht, then every part of the act of Shechita is still considered to be an ongoing Shechita, and it would be possible if even in the last tiny bit it was Mugrimet, which is strange. So do we not hold of Ruba Shalechot is Kekulo? And furthermore, are we so clear that what was meant over here is that it's that last little piece that's the problem? I mean, what about the middle piece? What about if your knife went up and down? You ended up with most of the Shechita in the correct place, according to Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda. So do we look at the rov, or do we look at the point in which the rov had now cut through? I'm so confused. So Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Asa. So here's our first take. The only machlokas here is if you shechted, let's say, two-thirds. What we mean is, or it's you shechted the rov. So you shechted two-thirds within the Tabat HaGdola, and then your knife angled outwards, which is the meaning of the word higrim. You went out of your lane, is hagroma. And the last third was outside of the area of the Tabat HaGdola. So that's the simple way to understand the machlokes. The Rabbanan hold, you need the entire Shechita, the whole act of Shechita. Kula Shechita be'inan b'taba'at ha'gadola. So it's got to be within that area. Whereas Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda simply says, well, since when do we need everything? Since Rubo Kekulo? At the point that you got through the roof, you completed the Shechita. And anything beyond that is basically cutting a piece of meat. Because this animal was already shechted. Once there's a heter shechita, this is no longer viewed as an animal. This is viewed as supermarket meat. And therefore, and it wouldn't matter even if it's still alive and it's still moving and so on, it is considered to be butzer. Remember I told you that story about that woman who came with the shayla? I'll remind you one more time. Comes with the shayla of whether is she allowed to buy meat in a non-kosher butcher shop? And my father looks at her like, what? Do you keep kosher or not? What's your question? No, I'm not Jewish. So what's your question? Well, I know that a lot of these butcher shops, the non-kosher butcher shops, you know, they'll shoot an animal and then they'll cut it up. But if the animal is still mefarcheset, so it has a din of Avram and Achai, and I keep Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, I'm not allowed to eat Avram and Achai. If I buy it in a Jewish butcher shop, so then I know they shechted it. Once it's shechted, it has a din of Basar. And then I'm allowed to eat it even if it was butchered while it was still moving. So I'm asking, do I have to be cheshish that the butchering in the non-kosher butcher shop was actually Avram and Achai, or can I be samech on a rov that there's usually... This is a goyish account. Absolutely amazing story. But anyway, so therefore, so as Rashi explains over here, if you hold that Ruba Kekulo, so then at that point, you're simply cutting a piece of meat. How would I possibly make something a hagroma if it's a piece of meat? That's what Rabbi Yehuda holds. But now, the way we understand it is, let's say you would first do the hagroma, okay? So you were magrim the first third, let's say. And then you cut the next two-thirds in the correct place. So then I think, says Rav Huna, he was quoting Rav Asi, I think that in that case, everybody would agree it's possible, even though you did the rove in the Beis HaShechita, I would think that Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda would agree that it's possible. Why do I say that? Because actually, at the moment when the chius of the animal no longer continues, which is the point at which you shechted the rov, so then that's the minute that the animal stops being an animal and becomes a piece of meat, right? That's nafak chiyuta. The chiyuta of the animal we're referring to it has departed. So you still, at that point, you need to have made a shechita. And a shechita needs to be rov b'shechita. You can't do your shechita ex post facto. If you cut through the point of Rove and then you cut the rest of it, so now you have a Rove, but the first part wasn't done with Shechita, how could that be kosher? That's what I think. Because being a Ruba b'Shechita, v'leika, you can't finish the Shechita afterwards. I mean, it makes so much sense. If Rabbi Yossi Bermuda is saying that the end of the Shechita, after you shechted the Rove, is not relevant, so how can it be relevant if you first cut the Rove, and because what got you up to the Rove was Hagrona, not Shechita, if you first cut through the Rove, so now what? You're going to make up for the missing part by cutting the rest? Makes a lot of sense. You can't make it up, right? Amalei Rav Chisda, fascinatingly, Rav Chisda said just the opposite. Just the opposite. Leimamar Ibcha. What you should say is the opposite. The only machloket between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim was if you started outside of the Beis HaShechita. So you were Magrim Shlish, and then you went ahead and you shechted the Shnei Shlish. That's where Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher. Why? Because he says, look, imagine a case like this. You've got a trachea that has been cut through. Now remember, the kona does not become pasul as a trefa unless rove of it has been torn open. Okay? Let's imagine a case where you had miut torn open. And all you need to do to complete the shechita is now to shech the next little tiny piece, and that would be the rove. Now, if you start your shechita within a hole, so we have a chatzi kona poga, precisely one half, and then you shech the next millimeter, that millimeter is the rove that is kosher, even though the first part was just ripped, right? And so that would be fine. Whereas the Rabbanan say, no, it's not the same, because at least in the case where you had a cut trachea from before, that cut was in the Mokum HaShechita, and that is absolutely essential, that when you're talking about completing a Shechita, it all was done within the Mokum HaShechita. But if you started by cutting two-thirds outside of the Mokum HaShechita, Shachat, if you started, rather, Shachat Shnei Shlish, the Higrim Shlish, however, in the case which you said was actually the case, not the machlokas, if you started with Shnei Shlish and then you were Magrim only at the end, everybody agrees. Who cares what you did at the end? Divrei HaKol, in that case, it's kosher. Because, after all, later on we're going to have the Mishnah that says, Rubo shel echad kamohu. So if you have most of either of, in either is only rove instead of the whole, that's the equivalent of being the whole of that particular simon, whether it's the karna or whether it's the vesha. And therefore, I would say that it's precisely the opposite. So therefore, the truth is, of course, we're talking over here that we have two different issues. And it's important to distinguish between those two different issues. Because first of all, we're saying that Aliba de Rabbi Yossi, you need that last millimeter, which is the Mokum de Nafak Chiyus, as the Gemara pointed it out, that has to be b'shechita. That's for sure, without any of the psule shechita, and obviously in the Mokum shechita. But we also have a different point. And the different point is that not only at that last millimeter, but we also need that there is most of the kana is actually cut. That for sure is true. So now the question is, does that cut that came because it caught itself on a fence before the shechita, does that cut need to be in the mokum of shechita, or is the din of the mokum shechita only referring to that last millimeter? So that's what we're talking about. If you're telling me that I have two different issues, I need most of the kana cut, and I need that the place where the rove, where was not the kriyusa, I need that to be cut through shechita and only through shechita. So that's the question. So if I had the entire part Everybody agrees. If I had the entire part ripped through up until Roth, and it was all within the Makom Shechita, so then when I do the last millimeter, I satisfy both of these points. The last millimeter was done by Shechita, and the entire Kana was cut in the place where Shechita is done, even though it wasn't cut with the halachas of Shechita because it caught itself on a fence. That's irrelevant. I satisfy two essential points. I have a rov kana cut, and I have a millimeter, the last millimeter, the critical millimeter was done with a Beis Shechita, and all of it took place within the Makom Shechita. So now the question is, does that satisfy all that I need? Now listen, between the lines here is a fascinating point, which is that Aliba Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, in this case, you'll note that the Gemara said that you did the last two-thirds b'shechita, right? Why do you have to do the last two-thirds b'shechita? Why can't you stop at the millimeter, according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda? You understand the problem? If we're saying that the first part of the cut, where the animal got caught on a fence, is considered to be satisfying the need to do the cutting in the place where it needs to be cut, and the last millimeter was done with an act of shechita in that cut, why do you need to do the last piece also b'shechita? Why can't you just stop at the rov? Why do you need to do the shnei shlish? So apparently, there is also a requirement. If it wasn't in the makom, get this, it wasn't in the makom of Shechita, which Aliba de Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda is not a problem, but he would agree that you still need to have most of the kana cut in the makom of Shechita. And therefore, you need to continue the Shechita past the millimeter that was matir the animal, even according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. That's what I'm suggesting. I'm saying the exact opposite. You need to have most of the trachea cut within the area of Shechita, and you need to have that single millimeter of nafak chiyusa within the area of Shechita, but I don't care what happened to it before. That's the point. So therefore, I am completely reversing your suggestion, and I'm saying that Aliba de Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, it could be that you do need to complete it in the Makom Shechita if it was begun outside the Makom Shechita, you see? And in that sense, it's different from the Chatzi Kana pogrom. Am I making myself clear? Okay, so we've got three different things that we have to consider here. The Makom de Nafak Chiyuta, which absolutely must be done, I suggest, must be done with an act of Shechita. We have the fact that you need to have rov of the kana ultimately having been severed in a makom shechita, even if it wasn't done through the act of shechita, but it was in the makom shechita, and it needs to be a rov hakana that was separated, and that wouldn't matter to me if it was outside of the Makom Shechita. So essentially what I'm saying is that according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, you're doing a backward Shechita, so to speak. You're first getting to the Rov, meaning you first got to that last millimeter, which was the beginning of your Shechita, but that didn't cut through most of the Kana in the base of Shechita. And then when you continued, you did what would normally have been the first part of the Shechita. You cut through. There, I wouldn't care if it was like the Hilchos Shechita or not, but at least it was cut through in a Makom of Shechita. So it's true in that last piece, it wouldn't matter if I did a Drisa, but I do have to cut it through Rove in a Makom Shechita. That would be why Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda would need the last two-thirds to be done within a Makom Shechita. This is now the second suggestion in how to understand Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so we've got two completely different approaches so far to how to understand the Machlokas Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbana. So Rabbi Yosef Tainan to Rav Chista that how do you know, you're taking for granted, when it says Rubo Shel Echad Kamohu, that for sure everybody would agree that Rubo Shel Echad Kamohu, and that even Rabbanan are by the Ruba Shalachot Kamohu, and therefore they would have agreed if you first had shechted the Shachat Shnei Shlish Vehigrim Shlish, and then Divrei Akol would be Kshera. Why? Because Ruba Shalachot Kamohu, that's what you claim. But says Reb Yosef, how do you know that the Rabbanan buy into that? My name Alondahu Ruba Dasim. The Mishnah said over there that Ruba Shel Echad Kamohu was true on either of the Simanim. But maybe that wasn't the sheet of the Rabbanan. Maybe the Rabbanan don't hold of Ruba Shel Echad Kamohu. Maybe it's only Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Katanila. Deal me Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Katanila. Who's to tell you that that Mishnah wasn't actually the sheet of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, as it was presented here? Remember, I'm a naive reader. I'm reading that the Chachamim say you've got to have a sliver of the Tabat HaGdola left on top. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says, what do you need a sliver across the whole thing? As long as you have a sliver across most of it. I, as the naive reader, conclude at that moment that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda holds that Ruba Shel Echad Kamohu, and the Rabbanan don't. So then I get to the Mishnah later on that says it's that the Ruba Shel Echad Kamohu. So I say, oh, obviously that's a continuation of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Shita, right? So why are you so convinced that no, we have to change the meaning of the Mishnah over here because everybody would agree Ruba Shel Echad Kamohu, and therefore we have to invert it and we have to say that actually it's got to be that he hadn't finished the Shchita properly. He must have started with a Hagrama. That's what you said. But it was all based on this assumption that Ruba Shel Echad Kamohu is true according to all and sundry, right? I see the glints of deep intelligence in those half-closed eyes and the glaze. I'm telling you, maybe Zoom has like a function. They can make you look good. Maybe they can make the people on the screen look good too. Does anybody know if there is a function? Let me just look it up here, because that would certainly help a lot. Insert eyes on faces with, yeah, you got it. gosh. Okay. Seriously, guys, I'm not being clear and it's not coming across, this is like really important for understanding the sugyas that are going to be coming up too. You got to get this straight. If there's a problem, then articulate your problem. And if not, forever hold your peace. All right. You bought in. Omalei Abaye, what kind of weird question is that? Ruba Shel Echad Kamohu is only said by Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Like, you never heard of Ruba Shel Echad Kamohu? You're telling me, in all the thousands of places that we learn Ruba Shel Echad Kamohu, it's always Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is in the background and insisting that we do it like him. That's crazy. Ah, much better. So Atu, Kol Rube the Alma, wherever it says Ruba Shel Echad Kamohu, it's Rabbi Yosef? What are you talking about? No, obviously I don't mean that. I'm saying, apparently, when we come to the dinim of Shechita, we already had our Mishnah, and we saw that they were arguing about Ruba Shel Echad Kamohu. I mean, come off it. That's the simple meaning of our Mishnah. So I mean, when we're talking about a continuation of our discussion in the dinim of Shechita, I'm suggesting that since we learned the Shamana Luda Plige, we see clearly that this was the issue on a simple level, the difference between, assuming that the Mishnah means what it's saying, you started shechting and only at the end you were magrim, and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says, well, Ruba Shel Echad Kamohu, so what's the difference? And the Rabbanan say, no, you have to have al pnei kula, that's what it says, you need to have a thin sliver of the Tabat HaGdola on top. So obviously they're arguing about Ruba Shel Echad Kamohu. I don't know. That's all I'm saying. Now, this was said in a different way by switching who said what, but this is the same sugya, just with different people saying the different points. So Lishna Acharina say it the opposite, that Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Asi, the Machlokes is where you started with the Hagarama of Shlish for Shachat Shnei Shlish. This was the opposite. We started in the other direction. But it's exactly the same shita, so I'm not going to go through the explaining it again. So the machlokas is if you start with the hagrama of one third and then you shech the two thirds, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says, well, what's wrong with that? It's not any different than doing a shechita where you already had half of the kana was ripped through, and now you're just doing that last bit. And then you're doing the shechita backwards. You're completing the cutting of rove of the kana at the end of the shechita instead of at the beginning. So it's similar to a chatzi kana pogum. Whereas Rabbanan say, no, the chatzi kana pogum began in the Makom Shechita, didn't begin outside of the Makom Shechita. And the rule is that you have to have the rove of the trachea cut within the Makom Shechita. Furthermore, not after the Shechita was completed. So therefore, here it's different because Acha loved Makom Shechita. There indeed it was also Makom Shechita, but not here. But in the case where first you started with the Shechita, and you did two-thirds, and then you were Yigrim Shlish, even the Rabbanan agree, because nobody argues with the idea of Grubo Shalachot Kamohu, and here Rav Chisda said, how do you know nobody argues? Just because the Mishnah says, maybe that Mishnah was Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, Dilma Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda Katanila, and Rav Yosef makes fun of that and says, what do you think? That every time it says Rove throughout Shas, it's referring to Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. And here Rav Chisda says to Rav Yosef, no, I'm talking about Ruba de Shechita. Since Shemana Luhuda Plike, I'm saying maybe the understanding that we have in the Mishnah makes more sense this way. David Solomon.
Maybe I missed something, but are we assuming, I mean, in all of these cases, this whole discussion, that of course, at least a piece of the veshet was cut as well? Because don't we, I mean, it's yeah, rove is...
Obviously, we're only talking about the kana here.
Okay.
We did a normal shechita on the veshet. We'll discuss the veshet separately.
Okay, no, but I mean, otherwise it wouldn't be
right. Because the reason that we do it this way is because there's no such thing as a chatzi veshet pogum, obviously. Because even if there's the slightest hole in the veshet, it's already a treifa. So we need to only talk about the kana so that we can have these discussions about that last piece. But in the veshet, there's no such thing.
But by ophos, it wouldn't matter, right?
In what?
By ophos, it wouldn't matter.
The ophos?
Do you still need the... I thought it's enough
to... I'm sorry. My hearing is not greater than...
By birds.
Oh. No, by ophot, of course, you only need one simon.
That's what I thought.
But if that simon is the kana, so then it's the exact same discussion.
Right.
Okay, great. Now, let's take a look at another case, a little bit more complicated. You start off the first third, and you do a hagroma. And then you shecht that middle third, and then you do a hagroma again. So now you don't have a cutting of most of the kana in the Makom Shechita. You only have the part that was nafak chiyuta, which was the rove, and that was the middle third, contained that rove. What's the din over there? So Rav Huna said, well, Rav said that it's kosher. And Rav Yehuda said, no. Rav said, actually, that it's a treifa. So this is one of those instances in which we have the two talmidim of Rav arguing what's going on. Okay, so according to Rav Huna, what Rav says is that it's only that millimeter that makes the difference between nafak chiyuta, that needs to be shechita. Nothing else counts at all. And therefore, if that rove took place with shechita, the fact that most of the kana was cut in the wrong place is irrelevant. So even though we said before that Rav Huna was the one who said that both the Rabbanan and Rav Yosi, they were talking about that if you start off outside, that then the shechita is not kosher. And we said over there, because you also have another requirement. The other requirement is the rove of the cutting has to be, doesn't matter how it's cut, but the rove of the cutting has to be within the base hashchita. We said that before. And here Rav Huna says that actually, you don't need that either. You just need that minute little millimeter has to be b'shchita. So again, it's clear that originally Rav Huna was referring to the shita of Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda and the Rabbanan. And what Rav was referring to was the halacha, Rav Chanina ben Antigonus. But it could be Enochinani, that part of the machlokas of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Rabbanan with the sheet of Rabbi Hanina ben Antigonus is also about this nekuda. Do you need to have rove of the cup within the Beis HaShechita? So Rashi says, I mean, we'll have to say that. Otherwise, Ravun is contradicting himself from what he's quoting here in Rav's name. So that's the question. Do we need essentially to have only that minute last millimeter in the mokum of the Shechita, or do we also have our other requirements? So let's see. Rav Huna Amar Rav says it's kosher, because all that matters is kinafka chiyuta, at that magic moment where the animal is considered to be meat and not living organism, that is the mokum of the rov of Shechita. So it was b'shechita kinafka. And that we have. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav Treifa, because we also have the problem of needing to cut through the kona within the Beis HaShechita, and we don't have that, and we need to have rov to be cut in that Beis HaShechita, and that is not what's happening here. So, and again, we're going to see that it doesn't mean the first rov. It means we can make up that rov. That is to say, we could do a backward shechita, even according to this shechita of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Because let's take a look at the case like this. Shachat shlish. Let's say you first did the shechita, and then you were magrim shlish. You went out of the Beit HaShechita, and then you cut the last part, v'shachat shlish. Incredibly, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says that is kosher, because all I care about is that most of the cutting through of the kana was done in the Beis HaShechita. And I don't care about the actual critical point. That's not going to be ma'akev. And therefore, I say that since most of it is in the Beis HaShechita, it's kosher. Then they asked Rav Huna, and Rav Huna said, no, it needs to be that the millimeter, that was the Nafak Chiyusa millimeter, is in the Beis HaShechita. So that would be Treifa, even if you had most of the Kana cut through in the Beit HaShechita. So Rabbi Yehuda heard about what Rav Huna said, and he was very upset. What's going on? Whatever I say is Treif, he says is kosher. Whatever I say is kosher, he says is Treif. I'm beginning to suspect that this is a principled kind of argument, the principle being, say the opposite of Rav Yehuda, because I don't understand. But then Rav Huna heard that, and he said, you know, he's got a right to be upset with me. Shapir kum mikbet. But first of all, look, he actually learned it directly from Rav. I didn't learn it from Rav. I was basing what I was saying here as an extension of what I understood Rav Shita to be from the first psak, but I didn't hear it. And look, you know, I mean, maybe he's right. You do have Ruba B'Shechita, and maybe that's enough just by itself without the critical point of Nafak Chiyuta. So maybe either one is kosher. I mean, that's what he says he heard for Rav. In other words, you could either be Maksha the animal by doing the critical moment of Nafak Chiyuta B'Shechita, or you could be Maksha the animal by doing rov of the kana within the Beis HaShechita as holistically, meaning looking at the entire process, even if you're combining the first third and the last third, you know? I don't know. I mean, it's not the way I understood it, but if he claims that this is what Rav said, then maybe what Rav actually meant was is you have an option of doing Shechita either through the critical point of Nafak Chiyuta, or you could do Shechita by doing rove of the actual cutting of the kana within the mokum HaShechita, you know? So maybe I should admit that, look, I can't really argue with you. Said Rav Chisda to him, don't you dare change your mind. Lota Aderbach, don't change your mind. If you change your mind, you're going to have to give up on the entire Shechita. Lota Aderbach. Because if you change your mind, you're going to lose the first part of your psak, which you were convinced of, and you will have to take that back too. Where the case where we had the first shlish was outside and the second shlishi was inside? Because why did you say it was kosher over there, even though most of the shechita was outside? And most of the kana was actually cut outside of the Beit HaShechita, because you said there's a critical point, which is nafkah chiyuta. That's what you said. So you understood the chinafka chiyuta be'achshera kanafka. That's what we need. I mean, there can't be two totally different dinim of shechita, for heaven's sakes. One of which takes into consideration a nafkah chiyuta and one which doesn't, and just looks at the kana as, well, it needs to have been cut through within this area. You can't have it both ways. These are not, they're not rational options. So if you held over there, the kinafka chiyuta bechshera kanafka, so then you're going to have to use that same svar over here. If nafka chiyuta, at that critical moment, you're in this shalish that was outside of the makam shkita, you said if you started doing a shkita and then you were magrim the next shalish and then you went back in, you can't have a different shkita. Where would that come from? So you need to be consistent. And look, what you said before, you should stick with it. I mean, even though he claims that you're just doing the opposite of what he's saying, you have to do the opposite if you held that that's what Rav was saying. Now, let's talk about a case like this. Rav Nachman actually came, and he was visiting in the town of Sura, and they asked him, what would be the din? If you started the shechita of a shlish, this case, and then you were magrim shlish, the middle third was outside of the base of shechita, and then you went back down and you were shachat shlish, and then you're inside. So what would be the din? Amar lahu, well, I know that we have a psak halacha, which everybody seems to accept, and that was Rebbe Elazar bar Menuhin's psak. Lav hainu de Rebbe Elazar bar Menuhin? Isn't this the same as Rebbe Elazar bar Menuhin's psak? Rebbe Elazar bar Menuhin said, if you did shechita like a cone, a hair cone, so the shechita was shaped like a masreik, it's kosher. So you have a jagged shechita that makes a tooth sticking out. Well, that's this. You start, then you go up, and then you go back down again. And then you've got a tooth in the middle. I mean, that's a jagged cut that leaves the middle outside of the Beis HaShechita as a hagrama. And he says, that's kosher. Says the Gemara, what makes you say that? You could have the entire comb inside of the Beis HaShechita. Maybe that's what he was referring to. Why do you assume that the tooth of the comb is a hagrama? V'dilman b'mokam shechita, the whole thing. What? Mokam shechita? What would be the chiddush of mokam shechita? What do I care how the shechita is shaped if it's all within the mokam shechita? Does that bother me? Yes, perhaps it would have bothered you if it wouldn't be for Rebbe Elazar bar Menuhin, because I would have possibly thought that ma'ad d'tima be'inan shechita mifora'at v'leka. You need a shechita that is, like we say, uparalem beit hashechita. Make sure that it's completely open. So the shechita is supposed to actually sever things in a way that the head falls back and it's not connected. But if it's jagged in this way, it's not going to be open. So maybe that is just part of what is necessary for shechita. Kamashmalu? It's not. But you can't apply Rebbe Elazar bar Menuhin to the dinim of hagrama. He might have been talking about Kula Bebet HaShechita. Now, Rav Abba was sitting in Shir behind Rav Kahana. And Rav Kahana was sitting in front of Rav Yehuda. And he asks Rav Yehuda this question: if you're Shachat Shlish, and you're a Higrim Shlish, and you're Shachat Shlish, what's the din? And Rav Yehuda said to him, the Shechita is kosher in that case. So, this is, again, like Rav Yehuda said before. He says that if you have most of the kana is cut within the Beis HaShechita, doesn't matter which part, it's fine. And I don't care about this supposed critical nafkah chiyuta point. That's not what it's about. Okay, so Rav Kahana asks Rav Yehuda, all right, so what about the opposite case? What about if first you're magrim shlish, then you're shachat shlish, And then you're a Higrim Shlish. What's the din? So he said to him, the Shechita is possible, which is also consistent with Rav Yehuda's Shita, that it all goes according to where we have Rova Vekana that was actually cut in the base of Shechita. I don't care how. So the Shechita over there would be possible. Now I got another question. Now this is all meant to be tricky a little bit. If you shechted by cutting that additional millimeter through a hole that already existed in the trachea, what would be the din over there? So he said, well, shechitato ksheira. So let me ask you something else. How about if he shechted and he hits a hole that was precisely halfway through? Now, this is interesting. He never did a shechita of rov, because at the point that he got to rov, there was already a hole there. But the hole didn't passel it because it was only rov. So the last millimeter was actually in the first half instead of in the second half. How about that? Boy, was this a tricky one, right? So if he was shachat and he was paga bo nekev, now what be the din over there? He shechted whatever there is to shecht. I mean, it's all you got. But he did it backwards because the hole was already there at the point where the rove would have been. So if I shecht through the hole, you told me that it's kosher because I did that last millimeter. Okay, so I'm doing the same thing over here. I did the last millimeter, except I did it backwards. Now, all of the issues that we've been discussing have taken for granted that there's this concept of doing it backwards, right? Because, I mean, we talked about in the case before with Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda that you could finish the Shechita backwards by cutting through the last part. And then that would make the rove that was cut in the Beis HaShechita. So I'm asking you, can you cut the critical point backwards? That's what I'm asking. And Rav Yehuda said, Shechitato is psula. So now Rav Abba went and said over this big Kiddush to Rav Elazar. Seems very strange. If you do it forwards, then it's kosher, because you did the last millimeter. But if you do it backwards, even though you did the last millimeter, it's not kosher. That's what you're saying. So he went and told this to Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Elazar went and told this to Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Elazar, I don't understand. What's the difference? Mishna. I mean, it seems that the two cases are exactly the same. So Rabbi Elazar said to him, listen, imagine that instead of having a nekev, okay, instead of a nekev, you had a goy that was shechting. If the goy shechts half, and then comes along the Yisrael, and he completes the Shechita from the half. That's perfectly okay, right? Because, I mean, what the guy did was not Shechita. It only got up to the rove. But in a case where you were Shochat and you got to the Nekev, so then that's the equivalent of Yisrael cutting through up to half, handing the knife over to a guy who then completes the rove. Well, then, of course, it wouldn't be a kosher shechita because it was the guy that did the shechita. So that was his svara. If you hit the hole, that's the equivalent of handing the knife over to a guy. To which Rabbi Yochanan said, what? Ovid kochavim, ovid kochavim, what the heck are you talking about? What kind of nonsense? Well, my Rabbi, he's right. He's right saying this. What kind of nonsense? Ovid kochavim, ovid kochavim, what does this have to do with that? In that, I mean, it's a completely, look, it's really the type of argument that will fool an unsophisticated, literally, it's sophistry. If you're not sophisticated enough to understand the difference, yes, you can fool your naive listener. Oh, wow, that makes so much sense. Doesn't make one damn bit of sense. That's what you're talking about. What Oveg Kochavim has nothing to do with the price of eggs in China. Where you're talking over there, where the Yisrael cut through a up to the roof, and then the guy finishes the shlita. Okay, what defined the shlita? The act of shlita was defined as the need to cut through that millimeter. Okay, that is the shlita. Who did that shlita? The guy. Since what he needed to do was to do the shlita of a rov, and he didn't do it. So all that I care about is the fact that what needed to be done as the act of shlita was done by the akum. And therefore, ki nafka chiyuta biyada da'ovi gachomim ka nafka. Fine. But in this case, what needs to be done? Tell me that. What defines the act of shlita in this case? Adding 1 millimeter to the chatzi that is currently there. Who did that? The Yisrael. What the heck does that have to do with handing the knife over to a guy? Total sophistry. So Avohocha, Mishkat Shachar. He cut whatever he needed to cut in order to do the shlita. Who cares whether you hit the hole from the front or you hit the hole from the back? Mali b'mokam nevke. Mali pogaboneke. What we need to define is the concept of what consists of the shlita in any particular case. If you did that, it makes absolutely no difference how you did it or where you did it. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan is correct. Now, this brings us up to the Mishnah. I think we should do the Mishnah, because if we don't do the Mishnah, you know, the Gemara says, if the Eidim come to be made on the new moon, and 1,000 other Eidim have come, we listen to all of them. We don't send them home. You know why? Because next time they might not come. Now, if a Ritchie shows and has been practicing for a Mishnah, and you tell him, no, sorry, go back home. What's going to happen the next time? Give it to us, Sir Richard. Oh, it was well worth it. Well worth it. So, thank you, Sir Richard.
Now I can go back to sleep.
Incorrigible.
Incorrigible.
Incorrigible. All right. So now we want to compare the dinim of Shchita and move on to the dinim of Malika, because there's this curious reciprocal relationship over here, and something that is perfect for Shchita, only its mirror image is good for Malika. And something that's good for Malika, only its mirror image is good for Shchita. So let's first talk about Shchita min hatzdadim. Now, remember, the Torah doesn't say precisely where to do the shlita. It just says, v'zavachta kasher tziviticha. But when it comes to Malika, the Torah says specifically, and it gives you a location. And the name of that location is mimul orpo. Now, we have to identify what that location is. And therefore, it says the Mishnah, if you do your shlita at the side of the neck instead of in the front of the neck, well, that is a perfectly good shchita, and actually, it's perfectly good even lichatchila. The only reason we say shchita tok sheira is because we want to contrast it with the malika, where the side of the neck of a bird is not mimul or po. And that's the problem. And therefore, you cannot do the malika in the same place that you would be able, which is the side, that you would be able to do the shchita. So then the malika is possible. Now, if you shechted the actual oref itself, the shchita is pasal. You cannot do a shchita from behind because you're going to cut through the vertebrae, and therefore you're going to make it a trefa. And therefore, by the time you get through to the kana and the veshet, you're shechting a trefa. And if you shecht a trefa, you can't eat it. So forget about doing your shchita from the back of the neck, not because the Torah defined where to do shchita, but because we know what the yudches trefas are, and there is no way to do a shchita from the back of the neck without creating a trefa first. And therefore, the shchita won't be kosher. So that's impossible. Now, you're telling me, but that's what you do when you do malika. Well, that's true. That's what you do when you do Malika. But who cares? After all, when you do Shkita and you start moving your knife, didn't you make the animal a trefa? You cut through a little bit of the kana. You didn't cut through rov. Oh my gosh, so now I made it a trefa. So now by the time I finish cutting the rov, it's already cutting through a trefa, right? Not right. Because the act of Shkita includes the and subsumes the first part, in which indeed had you only done that, you would have made it a trefa. Well, the same thing is true of Malika. Just like by Shkita, the Torah includes making something a trefa in the act, so too when it comes to Malika, making something trefa is included in the act of Malika. And that's the way to do it. So hamolek mina orev, the Malika is actually kosher. And again, it's only saying kosher, not because it's only kosher b'di'avad, but because it is the way that it needs to be done. But we want to contrast the two. So hashochet min hatzavar, if you do shchita from the throat of the animal, that's a kosher shchita. And of course, it doesn't mean kosher, it means that's the way. Masha'inken, if you're molek min hatzavar, you did malika by cutting through the bird's neck, it's pasul. Shekol ha'oref kasher l'malika, and that's because the entire neck is kosher for malika, and kol hatzavar, and all the throat, is kosher for shchita, which means nimtza kosher b'shchita pasul b'malika, and kosher b'malika is pasul b'shchita, which seems to simply mean what the first part said, and therefore the Mishnah needs to be explained what exactly is being added by that last piece, and the way we use the word orif is very confusing, because the truth is, the real orif is pasul for Malika. Only mul orpo is kosher. The literal meaning of the orif is the back of the head, not the back of the neck. Mimul orpo is the back of the neck. So that must mean when we say kola oref, we mean all the back of the neck and not all the back of the head, which would not be kosher because it's not mimul or po. But all of that, bezrat Hashem, we will learn in the Gemara tomorrow.